Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, all by myself today. And it's an open mic Friday, April the 6th, in the year of our Lord 2018. And what does that mean? It means you can take over the microphone simply by calling me and asking any question of a theological nature. Number in St. Louis is 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we had a number of topics that we spoke about during this past week, including the readings for this coming Sunday. The hymn assigned with those readings for the second Sunday of Easter. And then we had Wednesday, Insight Wednesday, where we talked about a sermon isn't really a sermon if you simply repeat the text. What you need to do is apply the text. It makes quite a difference. And finally, yesterday, with our crack investigator, who tracked down the rumor that the Pope was saying that there is no hell. That was Wes Reimnitz. And he did a good job, and we found out it was just what's happening a lot in the United States, fake news, that really the Pope never did say this. We're talking about Pope Benedict XVI. In 2007, he said hell really exists and is eternal, even if nobody talks about it much anymore. And so the Roman Catholic Catechism, if you have a copy of that, it says that not only the existence of hell is affirmed and its eternity, it confirms that the chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God. Now, sometimes I get the impression that people don't think that God is present in hell. But God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. But he's not present in his mercy and grace. And that is very sad. So that every time we're talking to people, we really want to give the impression that our goal is to help people get to heaven. They, in the coffee hour, talked about a deaconess who's doing work in Germany, and she's learning another language. And it was really good to hear the advancements that they're making with different cultures coming together, people being baptized, and Persians who are in that area of Germany she's in, Leipzig, getting together to talk about Jesus Christ and be baptized. Okay, without further ado, we're going to go to our phone lines. Let's go talk with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing real well, and how are you doing today?
Pretty good, I guess.
Pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my line.
Oh.
All right, what's up?
Well, I do remember seeing this on TV not so long ago where it was a Catholic priest on TV, and he was saying that there really is no such place as hell, like a place of eternal, you know, where you're suffering, what they call it, the agony of the senses. And he said that was actually the position of the Catholic Church. And I was watching it, and I was kind of surprised that this guy said that, but I do remember seeing a priest say that on TV.
You know, you're astute, Mike, because you catch right away where people are saying things contrary to the scripture. The official position of the Roman Catholic Church is that there is a hell. But as in Lutheranism, Methodism, Presbyterianism, we have what are called liberals who deny the clear teaching of scripture. And there's a whole group of evangelicals, have you heard about them, Mike, that believe there is no hell at all, that when a person dies, if he's going to heaven, he continues to exist in heaven, but if he's not worthy of heaven, he just goes out of existence.
Well, you know, that's in Malachi, though. If you read in Malachi, it says that there's no hell, but people are just, they're just simply turned into ashes, and the ashes are spread on the floor of heaven, and people walk on them.
I didn't know Malachi, too. Well, you know, Malachi isn't part of the Bible.
Well, yeah, it's the last book of the
Bible. Oh, I'm sorry, Malachi?
It's in the last book of the, yeah, sure, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Right.
Yeah, I thought you were saying
that. Their ashes are, you know, there's only like four chapters in the book, and it's toward the end, I think, where their ashes of the wicked are just spread on the floor of heaven, and people just walk on them. So they don't really, you know.
It's chapter 4, verse 3. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Now, that could be talking about judgment day. Remember, Jesus says people are going to be fleeing to the mountains, and of course the Romans came, destroyed Jerusalem. The ashes just could refer to what happened to their bodies while they're here on earth. It doesn't deny that there is a hell.
Well, yeah, I guess you could interpret that way, but I know in Judaism they have a, of course they practice it, but they don't believe in it, but they have a practice called Kaddish. If you ever go to a gravesite service, they repeat this Aramaic prayer, and what it is people are supposed to go once every month and say this prayer. All it does is praise God. It's not a prayer to the dead.
Yes.
And then on the 12th month, they're not supposed to say nothing or go to the gravesite to show that they're not praying to the dead. And supposedly this person leaves purgatory. They don't call it purgatory. They call it something else. But they leave this, like, terrible place, and then they go to heaven.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate these insights, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. All right. God bless. I just want to read the context of that Malachi 4 as to whether or not it's talking about hell. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. So I think this is just referring to the day of judgment for these individuals. And who knows if it wasn't referring also to the destruction of Jerusalem. Remember the Babylonian captivity had taken place, and many people were burnt there. And it does say they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. I just don't really see. I get Mike's point, but the way we interpret Scripture, when the passage itself doesn't make it clear if it's talking about the day of judgment or the eternity of hell, when it's unclear, which this passage is, then we let Scripture interpret Scripture. And since Scripture is really clear that there is a hell, therefore, we would say that that passage is not talking about the eternity of hell when they will only be ashes under the feet. You see, if you're in heaven, the unbelievers aren't going to be ashes under your feet. That doesn't make any sense. So I can see, that's why I like talking to Mike. He's always got a knowledge of the Scripture in ways that kind of open up the mind and give you some additional teaching. The passage that, by the way, the Roman Catholic Catechism also uses for the existence of hell is Matthew 25, where it talks about the sheep and the goats. And here's the last verse of Matthew 25, verse 46, talking about those who are unbelievers, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So I don't think we can make a distinction here that the unrighteous are just going to be ashes under the feet of the righteous in heaven. In fact, if anything, the Bible says, what's the pavement of heaven? It's going to be gold. I remember a joke about a person who went to heaven, and the angel Gabriel asked him, you can have whatever you want. And the man said, I would like to have a lot of gold. And the angel Gabriel said, well, sure, we can give you some of the pavement that's around here everywhere. So it was kind of interesting. All right, numbers here are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go speak. Is this Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Go ahead. How can I help you?
I guess my understanding is that everyone, whether a believer or unbeliever, is going to be raised from the dead.
Yes.
And have an immortal body. Like that's, and then some will be judged and sent to hell, and some will be judged and go to heaven. So I guess just as far as the people's ashes, I mean, would you also have to make a distinction whether that's the mortal body or the one that's been raised from the dead for Judgment Day?
Yes. The mortal body has often turned into ashes, by the way, both for unbelievers and believers. But you are absolutely correct that on the day of the Lord, and that's the day of judgment, that there's no doubt that everyone is going to be raised from the dead, but only believers will have that new body.
Really? Okay. That
yes.
was my misunderstanding. Which passage, or how do, is there a specific place that that's plainly taught in the scripture, or?
No, I just make these things up.
Right. That's what I figured. That's what I was checking.
No.
I'd be off
KFUO in 5 minutes right. if I ever did that. The best place is 1 Corinthians 15. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? That's exactly your question. That's verse 35. Yeah. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. In other words, when I went to grow corn, I didn't put the whole husk, the whole cob of corn in the ground. You just put a seed. And what comes up is really quite different than what you put in the ground. Then verse 38, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. And then it says, not all flesh is the same. There is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. Because we've discovered that with DNA. Yeah. Verse 40, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. And then he compares it to the sun and the moon. Because the sun has radiant glory, the moon has reflected glory. So he says, so it is with a resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. Now the question is he talking about believers or unbelievers? Well, the context makes it pretty clear. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And so that has to be talking about believers, because there is no glory or power that an unbeliever would have when they are raised from the dead.
So the those in hell for eternity, after the final judgment day, would have no physical form, or no body, no human body.
Oh, I think they do. Yeah,
so
what is
it then?
Well, put it this way. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's referring to believers. And so an unbeliever wouldn't be receiving the image of the man of heaven, who is none other than Jesus Christ.
Okay, so specifically, unbelievers in hell after Judgment Day would have their flesh, and it would be immortal.
Yeah, we don't like to get too much from parables, but remember the parable of Dives and the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah.
Both of them had bodies, and Dives was asking Moses, you know, go back and tell my brothers, and what did Dives hear? They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, they won't even listen if someone rises from the dead.
Well, that was my first point, that if their bodies are brought out of the grave and then judged and sent to hell, then they've got them. They're not ashes under their feet.
That's correct. That's a very good point you make.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'll keep listening.
Thank you very much, Joe. And anybody else can call us. The numbers are 821-0850. That's if you're in St. Louis. But even if you're in St. Louis, anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, the only ones who are not going to have bodies in hell are the ones for whom hell was prepared, and that is the angels. Because the angels are spirits, and that is a huge difference. One of the readings that is found in the Bible after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appears to his disciples, and they're wondering if he is a ghost. So what does he do? He asks from them something to eat, and he eats it, and it doesn't fall to the floor. That shows that he has a human body. And we will be like Christ in that sense. Okay, going back to the phone lines at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go ahead and talk with James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. We were kind of discussing something the other day, and we see these different terms and see them used. And so we'd like to know if there's a distinction, or is it synonymous when we're talking about the priesthood of believers or the saints of God? Is there a difference between the two, or are they used synonymously? And the other is, if we have the ability to choose between right and wrong, how is our will in bondage?
Excellent questions.
Okay, thank you. I'll go back and listen.
I know you will. Okay, let's take a look at the first question. Is there a difference between the priesthood of believers and saints? There is no distinction at all, but there is a distinction of what we would call, let's say, who they are, in the sense of what is their function. When we talk about the priesthood of believers, we're referring to a fact of believers that they are able to do what the priests did in the Old Testament. Remember, the priests sacrificed for the people and they prayed for the people. As the priesthood of believers, every Christian is able to pray to God. Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Saints of God, that's the attribute that defines that they are holy and righteous in God's sight. I cannot repeat that more. In fact, that's what every sermon ought to be. We take a look at a text, and then we apply it the way God would apply it, not the way human beings would apply it. So if we're talking about saints of God, if you ask the question, is it obvious that everyone in the congregation is a holy and sinless saint? The answer would be no. Not from our point of view, because we know they sin. And in fact, they confess that they sin so much that they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So that would not be something that's really obvious, that they are saints. So there's all kinds of metaphors God uses to describe his people. priesthood of believers would be referring to our ability to worship God. Remember, Adam and Eve lost that, and God gave it back to them by giving them the second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So not only can we speak to God, because we now know his name, but according to the third commandment, remembering the Sabbath day means that God speaks to us. Saints of God is another kind of a metaphor or analogy that God uses to indicate why we are permitted to come and take the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Remember in the old days, in the Old Testament books, somebody walks into the Holy of Holies, they were zapped with God's glory fire. It wasn't normal fire, it was fire from God, and they were zapped dead. So we're able not only to come up to the Holy of Holies, the altar in the church, but to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we could sit here and go through all kinds of metaphors. Another one is, that would be like saying, is there a difference between the priesthood of believers and the saints and the bride of Christ? I would say, no. They're all the same thing. Or another one would be, well, there's a difference between those three and being a part of the body of Christ. The answer is no, they're all the same. So there's a multitude of ways in which God describes his people. And a lot of time it deals with the function of the person. As a priest of believers, you're able to pray to God directly, right to the right hand of God, because you're part of the body of Christ. Now, the second question was, do we have the ability to choose between right and wrong? And if so, I think I understood James to ask, what's the motivation? Everybody can choose between right and wrong. You do not have to be a Christian to choose what is right or wrong. It's just that every unbeliever will make the choice on the basis of self-interest. And believers have the gift of being able to make the choice occasionally on the basis of love for Jesus Christ. It's really quite a difference. I think we might have time for one more call. Let's go. Is this Cynthia?
Sylvia,
I'm sorry.
Pastor Tom, could you please read Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and this is Christ speaking, and explain that.
Matthew
10.
Yes.
Verse 28, and it's definitely Christ speaking. Could you please read that and explain it?
All right. Let me read it first of all. Matthew 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
That's the fire of hell or Gehenna?
Yes, that would be the place that Jesus says in a later chapter in Matthew where the unbelievers go. When you go to hell, you are experiencing destruction. You are experiencing separation from God. You no longer have his mercy and his grace. And therefore, it's kind of like somebody who's sent to prison. He would say, my life has been destroyed because I'm not free anymore. And that's what hell is. It's a place where the devil has the ability to destroy your soul and your body.
Well, when I read in Revelation chapter 20 and 21,
yes,
it says that you will be destroyed or you will be consumed.
Oh, yes. I mean, have you not ever gone through a period of time of great suffering where you're consumed with grief? It doesn't mean that you've gone out of existence. But those words, destroyed, consumed, etc., really are dealing with what can happen to somebody who is separated from God. By the way, I wish I had more time, but we're out of time right now. If you have more questions, Sylvia, don't hesitate to call next week. We'll be glad to continue this conversation. Monday, we're going to be taking a look at a second sermon that Peter preached in the book of Acts. And we are looking for additional funds. Please listen to what is said right after this program to support Law and Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.